This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Mother of two, Maya Fuad, has been charged for false reporting after she lodged a police report about her child's complaint of sexual abuse. Joining me now on the line to discuss why this could set a disconcerting precedent with regard to reporting child sexual abuse is Yu Renchung, the acting executive director of the Women's Aid Organization. Welcome, Renchung. How are you today?
Hi, Juliet. I'm doing well. Thanks for covering this issue.
My pleasure. So, okay, maybe you can start off with just giving us the facts of the case.
Well, essentially, a mother was charged for false reporting, which is Section 182 of the Penal Code. And this is after she had lodged a police report about her child's complaint of sexual abuse.
Okay, so, and this was sometime last year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, this has happened because the child had informed the mother about some incident, and the mother then lodged a report based on what her child had said. So why this is such a worrying case for WAO and a number of other NGOs as well is that under the law, the Child Act, as well as the Sexual Offenders Against Child Act 2017, these laws actually mandate a parent for reporting any information that they have, they believe the child has been abused. So if the parent was not to report any information, or if they suspect sexual abuse or other forms of abuse, that's actually an offence. So this case really sets a very bad message to the public that sends a mixed message, because on the one hand, our laws clearly say that, you know, if a parent knows, they must report. And in fact, the Sexual Offences Against Child Act says not just a parent, but any person must report information to the police. So on the one hand, our laws say something which is designed to protect children, which is designed to ensure that child abuse, which we know is something that is very much underreported, the laws are designed to address that. But on the other hand, we have this case where the authorities have gone ahead and investigated and now charged a mother for allegedly making a false report. So the questions that we would have are, as mentioned, if the law says the mother has to report, then it's sending a very bad message that now the mother is being charged. We want to encourage people to report. In fact, in the law, as mentioned, the law mandates people to report. So by actually charging a mother or anyone else for making a report, that's something that is sending a very, very bad message. So it's a very, very bad, sets us down a very dangerous path. We have to understand that when it comes to child abuse, when it comes to sexual abuse, these are things that are very difficult to. These are things that happen not in the open air. Right? They happen when most of the time no one else is watching. A lot of times there is evidence might be difficult to obtain. The child's testimony is, and a child's experience and a child's story is very important, and that's actually a very important piece of evidence. And because of this dynamics and context where child abuse happens behind closed doors, a lot of people are afraid to report. Why are they afraid to report? Because they're afraid that no one will believe them. Yeah. They're afraid that, you know, if they make a report, nothing will come out of it. They're afraid that if they make a report, they may even get charged for making a report, so, which is exactly what this case is showing us. So that's why we really can't understand why, on the one hand, we have laws that are designed to encourage reporting, which is a good thing. But at the same time, government officials, government enforcers are charging someone who has actually followed the law and made a report.
Okay, and there's something else that you're very concerned about as well, which was efforts to actually limit and control Maya's access to her children. Could you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, so in a way, this false reporting case is about that. But you know, I think there has been other efforts by the other side to do such things. And I think what WAO's point really is to make a more general point about domestic violence, that abuse, it comes in many forms. And one way that persons who abuse, their spouse One thing that they do is actually use child custody, use access to children as an extension of the abuse that they're doing. So, abuse is not just physical hitting and so on. We know abuse is physical, it's sexual, it's social. One very important consideration for any woman who is wants to escape abuse is, okay, what's going to happen to my children? And so abusers know this, and they then tend to use that as a lever to further exert control and power over the person who's abused. So this is sort of based on general abuse general experience with many other cases, as well as if you look at studies on domestic violence, you'll see that this is in fact one common tactic used.
All right. So I guess, with regard to this, to Maya's case, what's going to happen now? Bail has been set and, what's the current situation?
Well, the case is proceeding. So unfortunately, the case is proceeding. So we'll have to see what the courts decide. And I think the ball is not only in the court's hand, but also in the Attorney General Chamber's hand as well. They've so far decided to continue with the case. So we'll have to see what happens in the court.
Okay, all right. And I know that together with the Association of Women Lawyers and Voice of the Children, you have actually appointed watching brief lawyers to monitor the court proceedings as well.
Yes, and that's the reason why WAO, Women's Aid Organization, the Association of Women's Lawyers, AWL, as well as Voice of Children, VOC, the reason why these three groups are involved in this case is because of the principles that this case touches on, and primarily the primary principle here is that of reporting child sexual abuse, that we already live in a society and where child sexual abuse is highly underreported, and that's a global phenomena. Mm-hmm. But we have designed laws to encourage reporting. Yet this case is going to really send the wrong message, and could be a deterrent for future parents, future teachers, nurses, doctors, or anyone who suspects abuse. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a deterrent for them to come out and make a report, because they're going to be even more fearful that they'll be charged. So that's why these NGOs are involved, really to look into the interest of children's rights as well as women's rights.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, Ren Chung. I guess we'll be in touch, to keep up on about updates on this. As you said, it's a very of public interest and everyone should follow it.
Thanks, Juliet.
All right, thank you. I've been speaking to Yu Ren Chung. He's the Acting Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organization. And if you'd like to find out more, you can always go to their website, wao.org.my. This has been Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.